direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in John chapter 6. I want to dive right into it. This is one of the most powerful sections in John's gospel because we have all these artificial followers of Jesus. And how real of a problem is this in the church today? So many say they believe, say they're Christians, and there's no commitment. They're totally drifters, they're totally floaters, and they have every excuse under the sun not to come, not to be a part of Christ and his body. And this is what Jesus is dealing with here. All of man's desires fail him. And Jesus makes this blatant statement in verse 36, "But I've said to you that you've seen me, and yet you do not believe." So he's standing there, he's healing the sick, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and they've missed him. All they wanted were his signs. They were seeing, but they did not see. Now let's be clear. This is why people stay at a distance from him. This is why so many will not commit himself to him or his church, the body for which he loves and died. It's unthinkable. One could be a Christian and not join himself formally to the body for which Christ died, which is expressed locally in the church. See, this is the problem. Ultimately, as I've seen this in the life of the church, so many unwilling to commit, so many unwilling to follow, disregarding Jesus' strong calls, take up your cross, follow. The reality is, these people are constantly and satisfying themselves with other things. Things that are temporary. We're earthly. We love the things of this world. He speaks from heaven. He's from heaven, and there's nothing in the natural man, in the unregenerate man, that would want to commit themselves to someone from heaven. The taste buds of my soul can't taste him. Deep down, I don't want him. And I said yesterday, belief is so much more than just saying a few things. You know, we've been just programmed to think in this country that our Christianity boils down to the fact that I made the profession. At the time I wanted to, I made an intellectual agreement to some facts about Jesus and the Bible. I walked an aisle, I said a prayer, I agree with that, and there's no change. Nothing's happened. You see, but they think, they delude themselves, they're Christians. Don't you dare challenge that. One of the most dangerous phenomenons in the church today. Nicodemus showed us that. All of our desires fail. And as a result, there's a large problem of many in the kingdom who follow, but when pressed about this life, which is far more than standing up on some date in 1950 and answering a few questions, when pressed, many walk away and get angry. And oh, I have seen that. Not the kind of following he's after. Not what he wants from people's lives. They will not accept a barren fig tree religion. Now, this is where we left off yesterday. If things had ended here in verse 36, it would have been a massive failure for Christ. How frustrated, you know, I would be if by the time a sermon ended, everyone just walked away and said, "Too much. We're done. We can't listen to that. Don't want that." We'd be devastated. You know, I'd be devastated. You know, that's exactly what happened to Jesus after this sermon in John 6. Thousands who had seen him fill them, after they heard his teachings, got up, walked away, many of his own disciples. You know, and they didn't have anywhere to go. Today, you know, people just run down to the church that won't press them. Got some nice guy up there who's going to pat them on the back and tell them they're good people. Well, they didn't have that in Jesus' day. And how did Jesus feel about this? Well, this is verse 37 of John 6. "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Think of this. You're all following. I know it's all fake. I know you won't come. I know you never thirst after me, but I'm not taken back by that. He says three things. First, my Father has given me sheep to go get. And I can assure you, the ones he has given me, they will come. They will come to me. Even though you will not, even though you're drifters, my work will be intensely successful. I love these words because if any of this were dependent upon us having to make Christ beautiful and satisfying to our weary hearts, we could never do it. So now do you see how powerful verse 28 is? You know, they come to Jesus and say, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." It's all God's work, because your following is all half-hearted. Your belief would never cut it. Your belief is not the kind of belief God will accept. So now back to verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Remember, he's shown us this. Remember, he had to go through Samaria. It says that in John 4. He had to go there to save the woman at the well. He had to go see that sick man at the pool of Bethesda to have him come. Jesus will say this in John. Jesus will say this in John 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is not frustrated by so many not coming. His sheep will. Jesus will go on to say in that very section, I lay down my life for the sheep, and will say to the Pharisees, you are not of my sheep. He did not die for the Pharisees. What doctrine is shining out here in John 6? It's a doctrine everyone can't stand. I don't know why. It makes salvation possible. It's the doctrine of election. It's the doctrine that makes such believing in Christ possible and sure, that there will be a great multitude who do come to Christ this way, who do eat and are satisfied, who have their thirst and their hunger filled in this life. You want to know what that looks like? Remember at the time of Christ's death, a woman came to him. She poured an alabaster flask of oil on his head. Costly. Everyone around said, what a waste! You could have taken that and given it to the poor. Careful of that argument. Often there's hypocrisy behind it. Jesus said, see her? Whenever the gospel's preached, what this woman has done will be a memorial to her. What was Jesus saying? You want to know, dear radio listener, what coming to Christ looks like? You want to know, says Jesus, what coming to me looks like? Here it is in this woman. Whenever the gospel's preached, I want you to think of how she came. Because she came so as to have me, says Jesus, be the treasure of one's life. Everything of value in life is me. You see, people like this were constantly coming. Coming to Christ, just wanting to touch the hem of his garment. Contrary to all the religionists and empty followers who did not have life and would not come, all that the Father had given, Jesus says, will come. And notice what he says next. This will happen because it's the will of God. Notice the emphasis on will there. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Notice it. People will come. People will believe, because this is the will of God. What a will it is. God's will, says Jesus, is that I do not lose one of those the Father has given me. You know, in this dark world, in this realm of the dead, in this place of the devil's darkness, and with the utter inability of man to ever delight himself in me, says Christ, my whole purpose in coming here is that not one of those given to me by my Father, whom he has set his eternal love upon from the foundation of the world, not a single one shall be lost. I've come to perfectly fulfill that will. You notice how Jesus describes it. What a will it is. It's to save. It's to not let one of them perish. Now, is there anything more comforting revealed in the scriptures? Man is totally and completely a failure. He cannot believe. He will not believe. He's totally hostile to God and the things of God. And here God's only begotten Son says, I've come that a multitude that no man can number will believe. They will be satisfied. They will come to me and be filled. And I assure you, no amount of tribulation, no degree of this present darkness, nothing at all, could ever result in just one of them being eternally lost. Wow. That's what John 10 says. This is the will of God. I lay down my life that all who are given to me by the Father would see the Son. That's what Jesus says here in John 6, verse 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that if everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All that are given will see. And they will see and believe. They will so believe in me, being filled with joy in my life. They will have everlasting life. They will live in that life, in the joy and comfort of that life. And they will be assured all their days, I will pour my life out upon them. And you know what? He says, I even care about their bodies. I'm going to raise them up at the last day in my likeness. He is irresistible to his sheep, dear friend. Putting this all together today, what a horrible reality up front. Something so wonderful. Jesus performing a miracle to feed 5,000, and it goes so wrong. So many who know not Jesus Christ. Christ turns it, and he assures them in John 6 that his ministry will be eminently, immensely successful in saving those who were given to him by the Father. Now, what do you say in closing today? You say, well, that sounds great. How do I know I'm given to Jesus by the Father? Putting it another way, how do you know you're elect? You know my answer to that? Bad question. You don't. People who preach and teach as if they have a secret holding on the doctrine of election and speak of everyone else but themselves as reprobate tend to produce real models of joy? No, no, no. Real excited people in the faith? No, they produce cold, hard fighters who themselves are never challenged as to whether they have come to Christ. What's the question? How do you know? The question, dear radio listener, is very simple. Have you come? If you come, then you know you're one of Christ's elect. That's the whole pressing issue in this section. When Jesus says, you've not come to me that you may have life, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to many of his own disciples. He's saying, you must come. Come to me. That's what Revelation, the end of Revelation says. It says so clearly, dear radio listener, at the very end, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So, dear radio listener, come this day, come to Christ, and you will live. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you and these radio broadcasts. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.